This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
I actually did a little shoveling yesterday, had a snowball fight, a little sledding. My kids think I have superpowers now. They decide they want to bring toys out and leave them in the snow, so I pick them up without them knowing, and then I pretend like I'm going to send a message through my brain to mom.
You say mom, as if you're in England. Why do you say mom?
I have no idea. Boston thing, maybe? Mom?
You know what another one is that you say? Popcorn.
What is it?
That's a popcorn.
It's popcorn.
This is DCR.
When you're in Cambridge,
yes,
messing around with, you know, the Harvard guys, the MIT guys, you know, chopping it up, doing some robotic stuff. I would have dominated at Harvard. Good professor right now.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, hopefully all the mums are listening and they're gathering around the fire, eating their popcorn on a Friday morning. DCR with you on 98.7 ESPN. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Well, we left off, and this is a good way to pick up the 6 o'clock hour, and the phone lines are open, 800-919-3776, on the quarterback carousel, on Sam Darnold, on if you think there's anything there for the Jets to keep or if you would move on from this young quarterback. It's amazing to think that he's only 23 years old. But here's more from Field Yates. So we left you off with Deshaun Watson, Carolina. So nothing's really shocked you so far. Now they become interesting. He has the Patriots starter in 2021 being from the Raiders, not Derek Carr, but one Marcus Mariota.
Mariota.
Yes, he has Mariota as the starter for the New England Patriots. What would that, would that terrify you, Rick? Would that make you feel okay? I mean, the untapped potential there. We talk about it with Darnold. You think it's probably there with Mariota as well?
Well, he had that one game last year, remember, against the Chargers?
It was good.
Yeah, he played really well. But I mean, that wouldn't, I mean, that doesn't terrify me. I'd rather them, you know, draft a quarterback and have, you know, the rookie growing pains next season. But I mean, Bill Belichick's trying to win now.
Yes.
So I mean, that would, as far as his options, I think that's a better option right now than what we saw from Cam Newton.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And Josh McDaniels seems like he wants a quarterback that has some mobility to his game. I mean, that's what we saw the first month that they had Cam Newton before he got COVID. So Mariota makes sense. We'll see where Mitch Trubisky ends up. I know a lot of people are down on him, but that's a possibility as well. Even if it's just bringing in a veteran bridge quarterback and you're drafting a quarterback, I think that the Patriots are going to have a lot of guys in that conversation going into training camp.
Now, this one is interesting to me. The Washington football team field has their starting quarterback next year. And it's short term, certainly. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Huh? I mean, tell me that if he does what he's capable of doing with that defense, you couldn't see them winning this division again.
Well, I mean, there is. I mean, there's Ryan. But all of a sudden now, you're talking about him as the starting quarterback. I mean, I've seen that movie. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick in small spurts where you ask him, you know, to help mentor a young quarterback. Like kind of what he did in Miami.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
I mean, trust me, would I like to see him succeed? Absolutely. As a fellow Harvard guy, I would love to see him have success in Washington. But, I mean, that would... No, I mean, there's a reason why there's this Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic, and then this Fitztragic. I mean, we've seen that play out before.
How old is this guy, by the way?
Who are they developing? Taylor Heinicke?
Well, they've signed him. I don't know. They need a quarterback. Like, Darnold would fit there.
No, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is 38 years old. I think he's hilarious. I think he's a good mentor.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Were you
know
just going to say you think he's hilarious?
No, he is hilarious. He's funny.
Yeah,
he's
a funny guy. Why would you take that as like a scouting report? Arm strength, good. Mobility in the pocket, very
it's
good.
It's important.
Hilarity, also very high level.
Because it's important. His teammates love him. Teammates love him. They adore him. That's part of the reason why. You see how hard they play for him? They love this guy. They buy into this guy.
Hilarious.
He is hilarious.
You're funny.
Remember when he stole Deshaun Jackson's clothes in Tampa and did the press conference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great.
First game of the season, yeah.
It was awesome. Wheels kind of fell off after that. But
yeah, they really did. All right, and for the Jets, as you would say, Rick, the piece de resistance, Zach Wilson as the quarterback of the New York Jets to start 2021.
Yeah, I mean, the people you listen to, that sounds like, I mean, you have, you know, Todd McShay betting SVP's salary that Zach Wilson goes with the second overall pick. So, I mean, that's going to either be the Jets or that's going to be, fingers crossed, the Houston Texans, because the Jets traded the second overall pick to get Deshaun Watson. That's who I want. I want Deshaun Watson.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
But I don't feel like Joe Douglas feels the same way.
I don't
feel like Joe Douglas is as hell-bent on getting Deshaun Watson. Hearing that Carolina is hell-bent on getting Deshaun Watson.
Yes. And they're even talking about including Christian McCaffrey in that trade. So if you give up 3 ones and McCaffrey, I mean, if you're the Jets, you got to now beat that. Can you? Do you want to, I guess, is even more important the question.
Well, that's the issue. Does he want to? I mean, because you can. I mean, if it's true that they can trade Sam Darnold for, you know, a back half of the first-round pick. Now
they have 5 ones.
You have 5 ones. So, I mean, it solves a need that the Jets haven't been able to figure out for since Namath, really.
I mean, right.
Just to say that, it's so jarring.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is. That's 50 years ago. Let's go to Ira Staten Island. Ira remembers Joe Namath. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you? Good morning, fellas. I sure do remember Namath. That's what sold me on the Jets the year before with Snell, but then Namath put the cherry on the top. And, Rick, you know, I totally hear you, but I do agree. I think Dave said it. I just don't think Douglas is hell-bent on really getting Watson and giving up what he needs to do to get him. And, you know, just look at what happened with Wentz and the quarterbacks. There's more to come. Let's see where Roethlisberger ends up. Wouldn't be shocked if he ends up in New England. We'll see what that's going to play itself out. But the bottom line here is nobody's saying this. You know, just by some chance, to just keep Donald, and you know I want to go in a different direction. It's not a one-year deal. It can't be. Because if you're going to be fair to the kid, just hear me out. If you're going to be fair to the kid, he's going into his third system in 4 years. You can't expect him just to step in. He has to play better, but master LaFleur's system in 1 year. So basically, you got to pick up that fifth-year option and give him a two-year window. And I don't think that's the right move. I don't think Douglas will do it. I think they will draft Wilson. But you got to get a veteran to come in here in case Wilson isn't ready to step in week one. And listen, Fitzpatrick, I don't have an issue with him being a hold-the-fork guy until Wilson is ready, and that's the direction I would go.
That's a big risk to run, though. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but if you're going to sit here and tell me that new coaching staff, which is, I mean, just not easy for any quarterback, upgraded talent with the draft picks and the money you spend in free agency, and the Jets have plenty of money to spend in free agency, that he can't have a good enough year next year where you feel, you know, 100% comfortable paying him the $25 million on the fifth-year option. When are you going to, like, if he's not good, if you make that decision that all of a sudden you're going to roll with Sam Darnold next year and he's just average or not good, now how are you addressing the quarterback position? What are you going to do now?
You're not.
You're done.
You're not. You're done.
You're done.
You're done here. And that probably means Joe Douglas is done here too.
But now you're screwed because now, yeah. I mean, this was, I mean, you're talking about, you know, 5 quarterbacks in the first round this season. The next year's quarterback draft is not close to what this one's going to be. Or supposedly what this one is.
No, it's not. And here's the thing. When it comes to Joe Douglas, people are going to give him the benefit of the doubt right now, especially with the quarterback position, because he didn't draft Sam Darnold. But the minute that he decides he's going to pass on drafting a quarterback at 2, Sam Darnold becomes his guy.
Yes.
And their fates are linked.
And there's a lot more pressure, Chris, if you stay with Darnold than if you draft any of the quarterbacks and move forward with them. A lot more pressure. You can go 5-11 with Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or whoever it is. I don't think you can with Sam Darnold if you're Joe Douglas. I don't think so.
No, there'll be expectations.
Yes.
You're absolutely right, Dave. I mean, you've got all that draft capital and you've got $70 million in cap space. Second most cap space of any team this offseason. So the expectation would be that the Jets will take a leap into the conversation, potentially being a wild card team. Now, I don't think that that's possible in year one with their new head coach, but we'll see what happens. I just don't think they should stay with Sam Darnold, though, Dave. I just don't. I can't understand what it would be that Joe Douglas would have seen over Sam Darnold's first 3 years that would give him enough conviction to warrant him passing on taking a quarterback with the number 2 overall pick.
Well, how much, here's the proposition, right? Because in your mind, it sounds great. We keep Sam Darnold. This new coaching staff can you know, get the best out of him. And now, because there's going to be teams that are dying to get up to 2, we can trade number 2, get all these draft picks, and we can build that way.
If you could put that into practice, that is the most attractive thing to do.
Exactly right. That to most fans, that feels like the sexiest option. I think that's why people suggest it, because that sounds great, because everyone loves more draft picks and everything else.
But it don't mean a damn thing if you ain't got a quarterback. It means nothing.
That's the reality. How much better do you think Sam Darnold can be? Like, is Sam Darnold, if you get the best out of him, that much better than what you think Zach Wilson could be that would justify, first of all, risking it, but on top of it, not resetting the money at that position?
But here's the thing, Rico, and we say if you can get the best out of Sam Darnold, we don't know if Sam Darnold's going to ever be able to realize that potential based on what he's gone through his first 3 years. Like, I think people are underestimating the toll that the first 3 years of this kid's career is going to take on him and how it affects his potential trajectory. Like, it changes things. When you don't develop a player properly and they don't have that confidence, where does that go from there? Can you get Sam Darnold to be the guy that everybody was projecting him to be when he was coming out in 2018? We don't even know if that's possible based on what's happened to him in his first 3 years.
This is like my go-to line, and I'll say it all the time when we would kind of go roundabout, is what happens if he stinks? I mean, there is a real possibility, guys, that he's just not good. There is. I mean, how many times have you watched him over 3 years? And I get it. Don't have a lot of weapons. Offensive coordinator is not good. Head coach is not good. I get all those things. But you know what? I think if you would have brought other quarterbacks in here, they would have had more success. What happens if he's just not good at this level? And that is a realistic possibility.
Well, that's what scares the hell out of you. I mean, that's why if you get offered a first-round pick for Sam Darnold, you make the I think you have to make the decision to trade him. You reset the money. You have a quarterback that hasn't had to deal with 3 years of being mentally beaten down by the coaching staff, the media, and everything else. He gets a fresh start, which is exactly what he needs. And now all of a sudden you got, you know, a rookie head coach with a first-time play caller working with the guy you just drafted. And you guys can grow together. As opposed to having the pressure on, if we don't fix this, then we all look terrible.
Seems like the route to me. Now, Simini, as we played earlier, was on the K-Show yesterday, and he said that somehow other teams still think pretty highly of Sam Darnold.
Sam, you know, played poorly last year, and there's no statistical evidence anywhere in this entire analytics world that we live in that you could find anything positive about how Sam played last year. And yet, I've talked to people from a number of teams who really have a high regard for him.
I mean, it has to be that he was with the Jets and that the Jets were so inept that there's still something there.
Yeah, they're not holding against him what they've seen over the last couple of years, and they're going more on, you know, how they had him graded when he was coming out of USC. And, I mean,
it really is an indictment on the Jets organization.
No, it is, but even going back to USC, I mean, go back to USC, Chris. I mean, this is a kid that hasn't played quarterback for a long time, but I mean, his last year at USC was not nearly as good as his first year at USC. I mean, and I understand he lost receivers and everything else, but I mean, his turnovers were an issue. Health has always been an issue for him, and they still continue to be an issue. I guess you would have to look at this as the same way you look at some of the stuff that happens I could use baseball, for example, I think, maybe, Dave. Like, Sonny Gray stunk in New York.
Yeah.
But going to the right spot, or like, you know, Gerrit Cole was okay with the Pirates. But if we get him down near Houston, we can unlock all this potential.
That's right. Or Morton, or you've seen it a lot. You're 100% right. But I would say this. How many times is a quarterback, and you heard Samini just say it, not good for 3 years, and all of a sudden he becomes a good quarterback? But, I mean, you don't have a long track record of that taking place.
Well, it depends on what they're made of mentally. I mean, that's a big part of it, and then the situation they go to. I mean, Tannehill, it was more than 3 years. They actually paid Tannehill before they made a decision.
But he was better than this.
Yeah, I mean, he was better than this. I mean,
and what was he traded for also? He wasn't traded for anything.
Well, they were just trying to dump his money at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah, so but he goes to a good situation. But that offense is not geared around Ryan Tannehill. That's Derrick Henry's offense, right? That's who runs that offense. But no, I mean, there's not a long list of quarterbacks that have looked as bad as Sam has looked especially last year, over the last couple of years, that all of a sudden go to a different spot and completely turn their careers around.
The only one I can think about is Drew Brees.
Yeah.
It's the only one.
But was he, and I don't remember, honestly, was he this bad?
Yeah, he was bad.
He was bad?
Yeah, he was bad.
And he was also hurt, too. So that's a remarkable turnaround.
Yeah, he was bad.
He blew his whole shoulder out.
In year four, you saw him take a jump. You know what I'm saying? Like, the first 3 years it was bad, and in his fourth year he took that step. I mean, we're at that fourth year now, but the problem for the Jets is they have to make a decision on what they're going to do with him contractually. Because the fifth-year option, they've got to make that decision this offseason. And to me, I would hesitate committing $25 million to a guy in 2022. And if I would hesitate to do that, I've got the second overall pick. Why would I stay with this guy when I can go with a different option?
Yeah, I mean that's really what it comes down to. I mean, it's the value and what you're going to get from him, as opposed to all of a sudden now we reset the money, we start fresh. Quarterback that, because Joe Douglas didn't. I mean, as much
it's
as he
went
like Sam Darnold, he didn't draft him, and neither did the new coaching staff.
No, it's not their guy. It's not. 800-919-3776. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Now DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. So there's another avenue, which is probably worst case, but I think you have to think about this, because you want to cover all your bases if you're the Jets.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
There was a guy, and I remember this happened. Remember what it was specifically, but Rick was very turned off by it. It was an NFL game, and somebody bet huge on the money line to win a very small amount. And that blew up in their face. Last night, a man laid $50,000 on the line for Gonzaga to win. Now, they won, and he won, but guess how much money he won laying $50,000?
Who, 50 to win is going to be...
Yes, it's 59!
It's going to be ridiculously low. He won...
$1,200, Dave.
I'm going to say $2,500.
You're right there. We're both right there. $2,000. Why would you ever put down $50,000 to win $2,000?
That's dumb. It's uneducated, it's ignorant, and it's dumb.
Yeah, you got a real problem, Dave. That's why you would do it. You have a problem.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Was this the segment that you had to meet the quota, Santiago, with the drops, by the way?
Like, what makes you think it's all me?
Was the over-under like 3.5? Like, we talk gambling, I can get as many drops as possible in this one.
I bet $5 to win two.
Yes, I'll bet $55 to win 92 cents. All right, so here's the thing that concerns me. And I'm sincere about this, and I look at it from your standpoint, because I'm not a hater like
you
are.
No, you don't want bad things
for the Giants. No, I don't. Chris, do you think I hate the Jets?
I don't think you care for the Jets.
I don't love the Jets, but I don't hate the Jets. And because I like Rick, I'd like to see some success from the Jets.
But you like to take shots at the Jets, though, Dave.
Well, because that's what he does. I wouldn't do it if he didn't do it to the Giants.
Okay, so it's an either-or proposition?
Oh, yeah. It's a quid pro quo, I think, is what we appropriately would call this. So here's the concern. You trade Darnold, he turns good. You draft Wilson, he stinks. That has to be something that goes through your mind as well, right?
Well, that's a nightmare situation, is that you all of a sudden, Sam is great wherever he ends up, and Wilson turns out to be not very good. Yeah, but what if you're going to sit here and say that you trust Joe Douglas and you trust the coaching staff, I would imagine if they're comfortable enough to trade Sam, they think that Wilson will be a legitimate starting quarterback.
And we still do, right? We all trust Joe Douglas at this point right now?
I don't think he's given you any reason not to trust him at this point.
I agree.
I don't love what he did in free agency last year. I mean, I think last year would have been the opportunity to go out and get Sam a legitimate weapon.
Jury is still out on Joe Douglas. Like, we like what he did in the draft, free agency not so much. Like, I still think that's a question mark too.
You needed answers. That's what pisses me off the most, is you needed, like, that. Last year was the year to get as many answers on Sam as humanly possible. And, I mean...
And you got none.
Well, because, I mean, how many times did we say it? Like, Breshad Perriman has never stayed healthy. And again, last year, did not stay healthy. Like, I mean, Sam never had an opportunity, really. I'm sitting here making excuses for him. But Mims was hurt early. Crowder was banged up. Herndon was invisible. I mean, the running backs got hurt.
You can't allow the lack of talent to be an excuse as to why Sam didn't produce, and the Jets weren't aggressive enough in answering that. They just weren't. Like,
you,
I mean,
have
you
kept
look
Robbie
at
Anderson in retrospect.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why they did what they did last offseason, why they weren't more aggressive and putting more around Sam. But the fact is, they're here now, and I think it's going to force them to make an uncomfortable decision. But I still think the right thing for them to do is to move on from Sam Darnold. Yeah, just because from the financial standpoint, the commitment makes no sense.
We are completely lockstep with that one. Let's go to Sean and Ronkonkoma. Sean, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, morning, guys. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, you just got to move on from Sam because, quite frankly, the guy's been hurt, and, you know, he's going into a new system with this guy, Rob Saleh. it's another system he's got to learn, man. Just give him a fresh start somewhere else, you know. Just my biggest problem is you haven't even attempted to make an offer on Deshaun Watson. You know, now I'm hearing Zach Wilson, you guys are screwing out today. And, you know, quite frankly, you don't know how that's going to pan out. You know, do you want to take a chance on a potentially another bust, or would you rather go and get, like, a surefire product in Deshaun Watson down in Houston? You know, you guys were saying this morning how they were, you know, want to trade him out of conference. You know, to me, you know, it really doesn't matter because Houston's still going to suck anyway. So what do they care, you know, whether he's in the AFC or not? They're still not going to contend. So, you know, the Jets, to me, they just got to make an offer. And, you know, it's going to be a huge letdown if they don't. You know, so.
Yeah, but Sean, you have to understand too, though, Sean. I mean, Houston isn't even entertaining offers at the moment. If you call Houston right now and say, we would like to trade for Deshaun Watson, they say he's not available.
Right.
What you've heard coming out of Carolina is just is speculation on what they would offer if Deshaun Watson does become available. They'd be willing to go this far.
See, my thing with that, Rico, is you might call down Houston and they might say he's unavailable, but you make them an offer that they can't refuse, man.
Well, you don't even say hello. You just start with the offer. As soon as they answer the phone.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Four first-round draft picks in the
you
next
You announce who you are? Do you say it's Douglas?
No. Yeah. Nothing.
No?
No.
I'll give you four ones and Darnold. It's Douglas.
Yeah, that's it. Four ones. That's it. Then they hang up and then they say, ooh, four.
By the way, and this could be kind of a strange thing to say and maybe a little uncomfortable, but I have to say it. Was that guy in witness protection?
Sounded like it. Yeah.
Like, if you're watching one of those FBI shows, and they you know, pixelized his face or digitized his face, and wouldn't that be the voice that they would create so you would have no idea who it was?
Something similar, yeah. Something similar. Interesting. But you have to take into account, too. I mean, they don't, as much as you want to sit here and say, oh, yeah, you take the best deal, it doesn't matter, you know, they don't care about getting them out of conference. Does Houston really want, how often do they want to see Deshaun Watson?
Not very often.
Come back to haunt them.
But here's the other part.
If you get a monster offer from the Jets and you get a lesser offer from Carolina, you'd be foolish not to take the bigger, better offer just because it's in your conference.
Yeah, but Deshaun Watson is also going to have something to say about it. He's got the no trade clause, Dave. And I know there's a report out there that says he wouldn't veto a trade to the Jets, but we don't know that. We don't know what Deshaun Watson is thinking behind the scenes. Like, he might prefer Carolina or Miami to the New York Jets. We have no idea of knowing. But if you're Joe Douglas, you have to be as aggressive as you possibly can, and I don't understand what's getting in your way of being aggressive right now.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, maybe it's just what happened with the Mets this offseason. And again, Dave, lost out on another one.
Well, I know. I can't believe I have no understanding. If you asked me to predict how much guys are going to get in free agency, I would be the worst at that. I didn't think Rosenthal would get $11 million a season.
It's deferred money, though. It's not. He's not getting $11 million. It's deferred. He's got money deferred. He's not making all 11 now.
But he's going to make $11 million from this 1 year.
Eventually, eventually he'll make $11 million. Yeah, he's deferred money.
But, I mean, Liam Hendricks, isn't he making $18 million a season?
But he's the best closer on the market.
I get it, but Melanson, $3 million. Like, I'm just saying, like, I'm admitting, I have no idea how much these guys would make on the open market.
It's tough to predict now. I mean, there's not many teams that are willing to spend money. And we're at pitchers and catchers have reported already. So you're talking about now, I mean, you're a little bit desperate. You want to take less. The market isn't what you thought it would be. There's guys that are looking for four-year deals initially that all of a sudden are just settling for one-year deals because that's the only option.
They have no choice. Let's go to Ryan in Queens. Ryan, good morning. You're next up.
Top of the morning, fellas. Listen, I just got a question, man. Why do you guys think that the Carolina Panthers come up in, like, quarterback talk?
Because they want a quarterback. Yeah.
I mean, Sam Darnold with Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, I wouldn't do that.
No, I don't think Carolina's looking to do that. I think Carolina wants Deshaun Watson, or they're going to be aggressive in moving up in the draft to get a quarterback. Like, their staff is letting it be known. Like, they want somebody that could be a difference maker. I think they were on the losing end of 8 one-score games last year, and they want a quarterback that can be the difference in them winning, you know, half of those or a handful of those. So I think they're looking for a quarterback that's at a different caliber from Bridgewater or even Sam Darnold.
All these teams are looking for quarterbacks that allow them to call games with no restrictions. That's ultimately what they – I mean, that's what they want, is where they don't want to have to manage the quarterback and manage what they can do with the quarterback.
Right. You want to have limitless options. Let's go to Tom and Mayapak real quick. Tommy, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Congratulations on the new time slot.
Thank you.
Well deserved. Hey, I think there's an obvious scenario here that I really haven't heard anyone talk about. If I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, I call up the Texans and I offer that number one pick straight up for Deshaun Watson, period.
It doesn't sound like they want to do that, Tom. I mean, we said that before.
If they don't want to do that, then that is franchise malpractice.
Why?
Because Deshaun Watson is the unicorn. He is a franchise quarterback. He is a guaranteed asset.
But Tom, Deshaun Watson would have to want to go play in Jacksonville.
Okay, we're having all these discussions based on the fact that Deshaun Watson is going to go to the team that's making him an offer. All right, we're assuming that, you know, he's going to go. Obviously, he has control in that. But if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars and you're not making that offer, that's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, listen, I think they love Trevor Lawrence.
But here's the thing, and here's why I don't think it's ridiculous for Jacksonville to want to ride with Trevor Lawrence. As far as upside is concerned, like, Trevor Lawrence has that same type of potential. Like, you could be talking about at some point in his career being the best quarterback in the National Football League, which is why I don't think it's crazy that they wouldn't want to make that trade. Like, Deshaun Watson, it's not a team that's ready to win right now. So for Deshaun Watson, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to waive your no-trade clause to go to Jacksonville. And from their standpoint, they're comfortable building with a young quarterback.
Yeah, and as much as I like Deshaun Watson, and I do, and I think he's terrific, he's not a unicorn. He's not. Patrick Mahomes is a unicorn. Deshaun Watson, in my estimation, is not.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
5 inches of snow in my town.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what they do. And this upsets me and this frustrates me because it's a scam in some ways. I understand it's important for the plow to be done, but they double plow. And somebody called yesterday and said the double plow is necessary when there's a lot of snow.
Mm.
But I don't think 5 inches falls into the category of a lot of snow where he'd have to come, do like the first portion, and then come back and do the second portion. Because then you know what he does. He charges twice.
Yes,
I don't want the double plow today.
I hear what you're saying, Dave, but didn't we have a wintry mix yesterday afternoon going into the evening hours? So there could have been some sleet that gotten involved. So you could understand, you know, a guy that plows and makes sure that everything is straight coming a couple of times with yesterday's storm.
But just to make sure there's no ice accumulation. It's a fair point. It's a valid point. But I have a rebuttal to said point. He hasn't come yet. When I came downstairs this morning at 4:15, the driveway was still littered with snow.
Yeah, that's
a
problem.
There's no way that he should come at some point between, you know, 4:15 and 8 o'clock this morning, do the plowing, and then come back later in the day and do a double plow.
Yeah, I got you on that one. Yeah, I was assuming that he had come yesterday.
No.
Like, and during the first wave of the storm, and then he was going to come back sometime this morning and do it again.
No.
Yeah, well, he's just a bad guy. He's just a bad guy that's taking advantage, Dave.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's what these guys do. I think they like mechanics.
Not all of them,
mechanics,
Dave. All of them don't do that, Dave. Just your guy.
My guy, yeah.
Yeah, just your guy.
They are mechanics of the snow, these plow guys.
Why don't you change companies? I don't understand why you don't change companies then.
The same reason you don't change landscapers.
I have a personal connection with
them. I mean, you have a landscaper knocking down trees.
Time out. No, he earned some more. I mean, he earned more.
Did he break your sprinklers?
Yeah, he breaks the sprinklers, yeah. He did himself a solid, though. When the other neighbor's tree fell in my yard, he actually went over and took care of it and everything else. Because he's guilty.
Of course
he's not great.
Feels great shame for what he's done. He has not done a good job by you.
He's done an awful job. I like him, though. What am I going to do? I like the guy.
Well, Dave might like his plow guy.
He doesn't, though. Care. I know he doesn't.
I don't care. No, because to let you in on probably too much information, it's a shared cul-de-sac that leads into three driveways, and one of my neighbors is not the easiest guy to deal with, and he says, this is the guy that we have to use. And rather than fight with him, I'm just like, fine, whatever. I'll complain to you guys on the air.
Yeah, but now he's costing you money. So, yeah. I mean, why don't you just say, okay, use your plow guy, and then I'm going to hire...
We're not far off from that. Because then he's going to say, you got to contribute to the portion of the cul-de-sac that we have to do.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know?
Just do it as a one-stop. That makes
sense.
Yeah,
so it's a lot. It's very frustrating for me. But it costs real money.
No, it's real money, but I will say this, though.
That neighbor's getting a kickback from the plow guy.
He probably gets it for free.
It's probably one of his. It's probably one of his shell companies that owns it.
Yeah.
The snow blowing looks awesome. I'm thinking about purchasing a snowblower.
You should.
The neighbor had people over there snow blowing his whole driveway yesterday. It looked awesome. Milo was like, "Oh, this looks great."
So you're purchasing the snowblower to have somebody else do it, not for you to go out there and do it.
No, I'm going to do it.
No,
you're
going to
do it.
If you purchase a snowblower and you,
I worry about you,
hire someone else to do it, you're pathetic.
Yeah, I would never do that.
I worry about you, Rico.
I kind of want a four-wheeler, too. I was thinking about maybe a four-wheeler with a plow on it, too. Sounds fun. Some chains on the tires.
You're going to wind up going into someone's garage, though.
Yeah, I just think that could end really badly.
Yeah, my own garage.
Ending well.
But to your point, though, you do a lot of things for the story, so.
Yeah, it would be good for the radio.
Yeah, I could even for the new videos, too. I could videotape myself doing a little plowing.
I was wondering how long it was going to take for you to get there. All right. On that note, let's do a quick 180. Domingo Germán, we've mentioned him, and it's kind of weird the way the Yankees really haven't. But Zach Britton did say something yesterday, and he was asked, does Domingo Germán need to say anything to the team in his return?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I don't think he owes anything to me. I think it's off the field stuff that he needs to take care of. I think sometimes you don't get to control who your teammates are, and that's the situation. I don't agree with what he did. I don't think it has any place in the game or off the field at all. So I don't think he owes anything to me. My job is to go out there and pitch and do my job. So that's kind of what my concern is right there. But he doesn't owe me anything. I think that's something that he's going to have to deal with on his own and make better choices going forward.
Well, I'm glad that he doesn't agree with what he did off the field in that soundbite. But Chris, a teammate, I mean, you played in professional sports for a long time and you were in the locker room. Would you want to hear from a teammate who had done something like this and anything? Or is it just, be good between the lines. It's all I care about.
No, hell yeah, you want to hear from your teammates, Dave. And, I lived this movie down in Baltimore with Ray Rice in 2014. Like, that was that incident that he had with his then-fiance in the offseason in Atlantic City, and we wanted to know exactly what was going on. Now, turns out that Ray misled us because when the video came out during the regular season, it told a different story than he had told us, but you absolutely want to hear from your teammates just because of the severity of what he was accused of doing or what he actually did at that charity event. Like, a lot of those guys were there, and they saw that. So, I mean, that situation, like there has to be some explaining. There has to be a mea culpa. There has to be an apology that's sincere. You recognize that some guys in the locker room aren't going to care what you say, because there's nothing that you can say to help them get past that they would feel like you can get past that with that relationship. But I mean, listen, this is going to be tough on Domingo Germán. He's got to rebuild the trust of his teammates in that locker room, and he's got to go in knowing that all of his teammates aren't going to receive him. And from the soundbite we got from Zach Britton, doesn't sound like he's going to be one of those guys.
The one thing, too, about professional sports, the relationships inside that locker room aren't nearly as tight as they are in a college locker room. Like, you'll have certain guys that you're really close with, but for the most part, once you leave the building, you go separate ways. I mean, you're all, like, guys got families, guys are all kind of, like, doing their own different things. But I think it becomes an issue, like, when all of a sudden now, what you're doing off the field is now affecting your availability on the field. Because your personal business is now affecting my actual business. And I'm sitting here having to answer questions about what you did. So, if it ends up getting to that point, then, yeah, I mean, to what Chris said, as teammates, if I'm going to be asked questions about it, I would like to, you owe it to your teammates to explain what exactly was going on.
Yeah, Rico, you're right. With most things, I think with domestic violence is a little bit different because it's such a strong topic and it's one of those things that guys in the locker room want to know, who the guy next to him is. And listen, I know that there have been guys that have been accused of murder that play in professional sports, but with this particular issue, like, because everybody's got a mom, what I'm saying? It's just, this is one of those that players are very sensitive to, and your teammate better have a damn good explanation or a damn good apology in order to help everybody get past it and help the relationship move forward so that you guys can do your jobs together. Like, I think that's one of those things that can't be understated when you start talking about the dynamic of having Domingo Germán as a part of the 2021 Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of guys that you've played with throughout your career that you can't stand, that you don't like as human beings, but it's not, you're not the decision maker. Like, you're not the one that decides whether or not that guy should be on your team. Sometimes you just have to, I mean, you just have to deal with the fact this guy's a bad guy.
And he's a good pitcher.
Yeah, or he's a good, whatever the position is, he helps our team win. Which sucks because, I mean, that's not, I mean, you want to be surrounded with people that you like.
But I think the fan feels the same way. I mean, you never want to know that you root for someone who has, you know, demons and
you
has
say
done
that,
bad things off
Dave,
the field.
But you say that Chris lived it. He talked about Ray Rice. I mean, during that whole thing with Ray Rice, how many?
Oh, we backed the hell out of Ray. Now, he misled us.
No, I'm saying the fan base. I'm not even saying his teammates. You guys.
Oh, yeah. After the video came out, there were still fans showing up to M&T Bank Stadium with Ray Rice jerseys on, even after the team had cut him.
Yeah, they were standing outside the stadium. I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, and I think a lot of them say that Ray Rice was a good guy that had a bad moment and he got caught on tape. And I think a lot of his teammates would probably agree with it. I would agree with that. But I mean, that moment was so bad, Dave. Like, it was hard for everybody to be able to move forward in terms of being able to welcome Ray back into that locker room, knowing all of the backlash that would come along with that from people on the outside. But one of the things that had to happen is that Ray had to get right with his teammates. He had to get right with the guys in that locker room and apologize and all of that stuff. And what I'm saying with this Domingo Germán situation is that it's not always the easiest thing to do. And if it's not handled properly, even if the general manager and the manager, the coach, want him back, I mean, the locker room might not be the most, you know, the most welcoming for a guy in that situation. And if that's the case, if the locker room doesn't want him there, then how productive is the player actually going
to
be?
I guess it depends how, I mean, this is a weird thing to say, how mentally strong he is. I mean, they could hate him. They could say, we don't want you here. We hope that you fail. He goes out there and pitches well, and he might just be able to turn off the outside noise and go take care of business.
See, baseball is a different sport. See, football is you're much more
codependent. But you're reliant on other people.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Well, but of the four major sports, I mean, baseball is the most individualized of all those sports. It's a bunch of different. I mean, even going back to my experience when I was doing batting practice with the Mets and stuff, like I was amazed how much different the dynamic in a baseball clubhouse was than in a hockey locker room. Like how much, like there was, like how clicky
how so?
It was. Well, I was just it seemed more clicky. Like, you know, certain, like there were certain groups of guys hanging out doing different things. Like there was a group like that was in the back watching, you know, a hunting show. You know, betting on how big the buck was that just got killed. And like, it was just all different. And maybe it's because they spend so much time in the clubhouse. Like, they're at the clubhouse all day. They're in the clubhouse all day. As opposed to, I mean, in the NHL, I mean, you show up, you know, a couple hours, you know, 2 hours before the game, get your routine done, get dressed, and go play. Like, you're not spending that much time in the locker room. But the only thing as a teammate you can do is you get yourself in a situation like that. And I've never been in a locker room where something like this with domestic violence that has happened, but you have to. It's something that would need to be addressed, in my opinion. And the person, Domingo Germán, whoever it ends up being, needs to show that they're remorseful, that they've learned their lesson, and you got to be honest. I mean, that's if you can't be honest with your teammates in a situation like this, then
right.
Then the locker room. I mean, that's when you get the locker room ends up turning on you. Because guys know exactly the second you get into a locker room, guys know exactly who you are as what kind of guy you are. There's no fooling your teammates.
Yeah, no, I imagine that was a big suspension that he had to serve. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. All right, are you guys ready? I mean, this is going to be a lot of fun. I think everyone's going to greatly enjoy it. Chris, you ready to go?
I don't got to get ready. If I stay ready, Dave, I'm good. Let's
go. All right, Rick, are you ready to go?
I have high expectations, David. High expectations.
We'll see if I can live up to those. RJ and Raymond, if you will.
Getting to know you.
Getting to know you.
On DCR.
I don't know who you are.
This is... Oh, my God. All right, here we go. So, Getting to Know You, by the way, has a sponsor, and it's brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Place your parlays, props, and future bets at the king of all sportsbooks. Get the app and do it today. I have listed, and
which would make, by the way, I don't want to interrupt you, but would make perfect sense that the segment that you actually came up with, created, your baby, is sponsored by a gambling site.
Well, you know what? At least it's got a sponsor. So we'll, it's baby steps here. All right? Could be sponsored by a plow guy that would come in and plow my driveway for free. But here we go. So I have created a list of five questions for you guys to, and I think you'll know them. And I think you'll know a bunch of them, and it's going to prove that you know me, in fact, well. So I'm going to run through the questions. I'll give you time to jot down your answer. It's multiple choice, so you won't look foolish. And then we'll revisit the answers at the end. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. Question one. And this is big in Europe, by the way. Picked it up from satellite radio. Big in Europe. What college basketball team do I absolutely hate? What college basketball team do I absolutely hate? Is it A, NC State, B, University of North Carolina, C, Duke, D, Wake Forest? You guys ready to move on? I don't want to go too quickly here.
Ready to move on.
Rick, are you ready to move on to the second question?
Yeah, I don't appreciate the first question, but yeah, I'm ready to move on.
Why would you not appreciate it? We'll get to that in the unveiling of the answers.
I'm not answering that question. Pass.
Yeah, Ninkovich. All right. Immediately upon my return, we're going to step up in difficulty here. Immediately upon my return from the horrible Super Bowl 35 loss, I did what? A, went right to Atlantic City, went on a bender and gambled for 24 straight hours. B, broke up with the girl I was dating, citing I need to make life-altering changes. Or C, immediately registered for graduate school and started the charge for my master's degree. Immediately upon my return home from the devastating Super Bowl 35 loss, I did what? I, A, went right to Atlantic City and gambled my face off for 24 straight hours. B, broke up with the girl I was dating, citing I need to make life-altering changes. Or C, registered for graduate school and started the charge for my master's degree. Are we ready for the third question?
Yes.
These are tough questions.
You love it, though, don't you? All right. You do. Third question. I proposed to Sherry at what location? I proposed to Sherry at what location? The finish line of the New York City Marathon. The top of the Empire State Building at the 50-yard line of Giant Stadium. I proposed to Sherry where? The finish line of the New York City Marathon. The top of the Empire State Building. The 50-yard line of the glorious Giant Stadium. Question four. The most upset I've ever been after a regular season Giants loss. The DeSean Jackson punt return game. The loss to the Jets the last game of the 1988 season for the division, a game I was at, mind you, or the Monday night 7-3 loss to the Niners in 1990. Do you need me to repeat the question, or are you comfortable with where we are?
I'm good.
Rick, you're okay? All right.
Very comfortable.
And lastly, on a long overnight flight heading into a football Sunday, the captain announced, quote, "We're in distress right now, people, and there's a chance we might make a crash landing." To which my response was, if we crash and I miss the Giants-Cowboys game, I'm going to be furious. To which a mother of two turned around and looked at me in absolute horror. That flight was coming from Los Angeles, San Francisco, Las Vegas, or Seattle. Las Vegas, San Francisco, Los Angeles, or Seattle? Anything you need repeated? Anything you need to be run over here?
I think I'm good, Dave.
All right. Here we go. You need a moment?
No,
I don't want to rush.
Good. No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Now, we do have parting gifts. The second place will receive a washer dryer set. First place, a car. Here we go. What college basketball team, we'll start with Chris and then we'll go back and forth, do I absolutely hate? Is it NC State? Is it UNC? Is it Duke? Is it Wake Forest?
I'm going to go with C, Duke.
All right. He says Duke. Rick, you say?
I say Duke. I concur.
It's like you don't know me at all.
Is it UNC?
Of course it's UNC. I mention it all the time. Georgetown, love them. 82, Jordan hits the shot. I say all the time how he's tortured me for years.
I know.
That was a layup.
I got the Bergs confused. Rosenberg hates Duke. I got it confused.
Because he went to Maryland. Oh, I know. God. I don't even know if I can continue this.
I was sure about that one. It makes me second guess all my answers now.
I actually like Duke because I dislike UNC so much. Terrible. All right.
The enemy of your enemy.
Exactly. Immediately upon my return from the horrible Super Bowl 35 loss to the Ravens 34-7, I did what? I went straight to Atlantic City and gambled my face off. I broke up with the girl I was dating, citing I need to make life-altering changes, or I registered for graduate school and started the charge for my master's degree. Rick, what's the answer?
I'm going to go B, broke up.
Okay, you're going to say broke up with the girl I was dating, citing I need to make life-altering changes. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with B, the breakup.
You're both correct. Yes. You're both correct. That's right. I returned. I called her immediately. I had her come over, and I said, listen, I need to break up with you. And she said, why? I thought we had a nice relationship. I said, here's how I see it. We're not going to get married. There's no chance of that. I need to make life-altering changes. So you're both one and one heading into the third question. All right, Chris. I proposed to Sherry at what location? At what location? The finish line of the New York City Marathon, the top of the Empire State Building, or the 50-yard line of Giant Stadium?
A, the finish line at the New York City Marathon.
Rick?
I concur. Finish line.
You are both correct. The fact that you guys have gotten the more difficult questions and missed out on the first one is shocking, but you are correct because I left and didn't meet her at the finish line when she ran the marathon because I had to get home for the Giants game, so she had to take the bus cross town after running the marathon all by herself, and I felt guilty about that, and months later then proposed at the finish line of the New York City Marathon. Okay, moving right along, you're both 2-1. The most upset I've ever been after a Giants regular season loss, the DeSean Jackson punt return game, the loss to the Jets, the last game of the 88 season for the division, or the Monday night loss, 7-3 to the Niners in 1990. Rick?
I'm going to go with A. I'm going to go with DeSean Jackson.
Okay. Chris?
As much as I would want to go with A, Dave, because I want you to share in the misery of that moment with me, I'm going to go with C, the Monday night loss to the Niners.
How about Chris Canty? Ding, ding. Chris, you take a one-game lead heading into the final game. It is, in fact, that Monday night loss to the Niners, where if you remember, Phil Simms and Ronnie Lott were nose-to-nose furious with each other after that game. I went into math class, and I told my math teacher I was completely ill-prepared for the test, and I didn't care if she failed me. And, in fact, she did. All right, on a long overnight flight, Chris, you're 3-1. Rick, you're sadly 2-2. On a long overnight flight heading back to a football Sunday, the captain announced we were in great distress. As we pulled over JFK, there were ambulances and fire trucks and all sorts of stuff just waiting on the runway. My response to that, because I was heavily medicated, was if I miss the Giants game and we crash, I'm going to be very, very, very upset. We were returning from Los Angeles, San Francisco, Las Vegas, or Seattle. Who's up here?
Canty's up.
All right, Chris. You get it right, you win. Doesn't matter what he says.
Okay, Dave, so you're coming from out west. I'm going to lean toward Vegas, but I don't feel great about it, so I'm going to go, I think it was C, Las Vegas.
All right, he's going to go Las Vegas. Rick, where are you going? You can't go Vegas.
I can't go Vegas. I have Vegas written down. I can't go Vegas. I don't think it was Seattle. I'm going to say it was L.A.
Chris Canty, you know me better on this Friday morning than one Rick DiPietro.
Congratulations
on a throttling win. The car is yours. Rick, we do have the nice washer-dryer set for you on the way out. So there you have it. How well do you know your co-host? Round one goes to Chris Canty. Very well done, Chris.
Dave, I'm surprised I didn't blow that lead, man. You know how I get when it gets down to the playoffs, man.
I know. Things that Vegas question was playoff caliber, but you hit a home run. You
there
did
you go.
Well.
There you go. I'm just Rick, good at multiple choice. That's
I don't know how you live with yourself, Rick, after that.
I don't know how the Vegas question is a tough question. The first question you asked was a tougher question than the Vegas question. That seems obvious.
You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him.
I picked LA. So, I mean, you can see it. I have Vegas written down on my sheet.
I believe that. No, I'm sure you did. But you know what? Don't bury the lead here. The fact is you missed the layup question.
No,
I say all the time that I hate North Carolina. RJ and Ray, how often do I say that I hate North Carolina?
Yeah, I thought that was a slam dunk, though.
Slam dunk.
Here we go. Here we go.
Yeah, it clearly wasn't a slam dunk because Rick and I both got it wrong.
Clearly it wasn't, and I overstated how easy it was. I mean, I'm stunned that both you guys had that one wrong.
Yeah. Yeah,
was which college basketball team do I love more than anything, not which one do I hate.
What do I love? You obviously would know that.
But if you know which college basketball team he loves, and then you ask, well, which one would he hate? Process of elimination would tell you, okay, if he loves this team, he should hate this team.
Santiago never defends me. I love this.
You guys listen.
You're talking about going back 40 years or 30 years, whatever it was.
I got a memory of an elephant. I
don't think that type of hate ever goes away.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I taunted at the bus stop as a 9-year-old. I remember that like it was yesterday.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.